Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, February 15th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, we spend the first few moments in silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, we're just getting started. Actually, the last two verses of chapter 3 is the key to introducing 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is spiritual freedom. Verse 18, but we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image, Galatians 4:19. From glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Because of the tremendous unveiling of glory, the church age believer being transformed from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, Galatians 4:19, we keep on having, every one of us, a ministry. All church-age believers are in full-time Christian service. And therefore, we all keep on having a ministry. Every church-age believer is a royal priest representing himself before God. Every church-age believer is a royal ambassador representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Sounds like this. Because of this, because of 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, Because of this unique spiritual life that we have in the church age, because of this, since we keep on having this ministry, just as, or to the degree that, we have received mercy, grace in action, we do not lose heart. The very first unique spiritual life was given to the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. This unique spiritual life was lived by the Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity 100% of the time. He was indwelt and filled with the Spirit from the moment of his birth and had lived this unique spiritual life. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father, Operation Grace, the cross. Now, this unique spiritual life has been given to every church age believer, which means every member of the royal family of God also has a ministry. The church age is the only dispensation in human history where every believer is in full-time Christian service. This is the only dispensation in human history where every believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. The universal indwelling of the Spirit serves as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. And the filling of the Spirit, combined with maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, is the divine power and grace to fulfill our ministry. This ministry includes being a royal priest, representing yourself before God, being a royal ambassador, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And as you live this unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, you develop personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And as virtue love is brought to completion in your heart, you will have maximum impersonal love for all and grace righteous production in your life. And that includes the ministry of reconciliation or witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So every church age believer is a minister. We are all in the ministry in full-time Christian service. And we ended with 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20 last time. Well, let's start with that this evening. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 18 to 20. We'll be there shortly. Not tonight, but we will be there. We're in chapter 4. This is chapter 5. See, that's a deep point. 5 follows 4. You get that? 5, 4, 5. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we are all in full-time Christian service. We are all in the ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation. So again, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Because of this, the 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, because of the unique spiritual life of the church age, since we keep on having this ministry, just as, or to the degree that, we have received mercy, grace in action, we do not lose heart. In the first paragraph of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, that part of our ministry that is being emphasized is witnessing for Jesus Christ, which is the ministry of reconciliation. Every church age believer has been appointed a royal ambassador. Our ministry as a royal ambassador is to present the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And this part of the royal family of God's ministry is to witness for Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2, which is where we are, in 2 Corinthians 4, 2, we have three things that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must totally avoid. Three things it must totally avoid. First, things hidden because of shame. Things hidden because of shame is living your life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Secondly, do not use deception. Third, do not distort the word of God. So in 2 Corinthians 4, 2, we have three things that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must totally avoid. Things hidden because of shame, do not use deception, do not distort the word of God. In 2 Corinthians 4, 2, we also have what our ministry of witnessing for Christ must be. And that is the proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel. Eternal salvation is by grace, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when you present the gospel, the good news, the word gospel is euangelion, good euangelion news. And that good news is that it's grace. Salvation is by grace. It's not who and what you are or what you do. You can't work your way into heaven. It's who and what Christ is and what He did for us. For Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So to fulfill your ministry of witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You must be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the mandate, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And you must have pertinent metabolized doctrine about the grace gospel in your heart. It is impossible to fulfill your ministry of witnessing for Christ if you are living in Satan's cosmic system. For there is no virtue, no honor, no grace, no truth, no filling of the Spirit, no impersonal love for all in Satan's cosmic system. So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2 starts out, number one, that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must avoid, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The word but is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, Allah. Looks like that in the Greek, A-L-L-A. This is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. Allah means, it sets up a contrast between living the spiritual life with living in Satan's cosmic system. It contrasts the grace and power of God with human energy of the flesh, the sin nature. It contrasts the filling of the Spirit with grieving and quenching the Spirit. It contrasts absolutely not losing heart the end of verse 1 with shame and despair from living in the cosmic system, verse 2. And then we have, after Allah, we have the aorist middle indicative of apenon. Looks like that in the Greek. A-P-E-I-N-O-N, apenon. And apenon is a hapax legomenon. And that, it means that this is the only time that this word is found in the New Testament scriptures. Apenon means to renounce, to disown. In witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is imperative that we renounce and totally avoid all lies, all false gospels of Satan's cosmic system. Satan's objective as the ruler of planet Earth is to distort the absolute truth of the grace gospel into a lie of salvation by works. There is no virtue, there is no honor, there is no impersonal love for all in Satan's cosmic system. Impersonal love for all is a very important part of witnessing for Jesus Christ. And therefore, it demands that you be living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, so you can fulfill your ministry of witnessing for Christ by the grace and the power of God. And then we have the word kruptos. Kruptos looks like that in the Greek, K-R-U-P-T-O-S. We have the word cryptic or encryption from this word. So let's get a couple of points on this. One, kruptos is an adjective and it means hidden or secret. And that's what you do when you have encryption. You send a message that nobody else knows what you've said, see? It's secret, it's hidden. That's from kruptos. Two, with the definite article, the adjective becomes a substantive. That is, it now functions as a noun. And therefore, it should be correctly translated, the hidden things. The hidden things, or the things that are hidden. Three, these hidden things are the things of Satan's cosmic system. These hidden things are the things of Satan's cosmic system. Four, there were a lot of false apostles and false teachers in Corinth who were living in Satan's cosmic system, and they were teaching these hidden things, these lies, false gospels, false doctrine, human viewpoint garbage. So the Apostle Paul was well aware of all of this going on in Corinth. There were a lot of false apostles and false teachers in Corinth who were living in Satan's cosmic system, and they were teaching hidden things, lies, false gospels, false doctrine, human viewpoint garbage. Five, Paul calls these hidden things as hidden things of shame. Of shame is the genitive singular of aiskune. Looks like that in the Greek, A-I-S-C-H-U-N, long E, aiskune. So Paul calls these hidden things of shame. And aiskune is the Greek word for shame. Six, Paul has renounced the secret and shameful ways of these false apostles and false teachers. Paul has totally renounced the secret and shameful ways of these false apostles and false teachers, all their lies, their false gospels, their false doctrine. Seven. Paul proclaimed the absolute truth of the grace gospel boldly, clearly, plainly. Paul proclaimed the absolute truth of the grace gospel boldly, clearly, plainly. For by grace you are saved through faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's simple. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. It's very hard today. It's sad. But in the among fundamentalism today, it's almost impossible to hear the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. Almost impossible. You do occasionally hear it, but most of the time they have succumbed to the lies of Satan himself. See, Satan's a genius and he's ruler of planet Earth. And what he does, he takes the Word of God and he just twists it. He takes the grace gospel and twists it. He'll use the same terminology, Jesus Christ, but then he'll add works. Soon as you add one work to faith in Christ, you have a false gospel. And no one will be in heaven if they believe that they're there because of the work that they did in adding to their faith in Christ. They will not be there. And it has swept through fundamentalism. And it's I don't even pay any attention to TV Christian programs anymore because I never ever hear the grace gospel. So Paul has renounced the secret and shameful ways of these false apostles and false teachers, all their lies, the false gospel, false doctrine. Paul proclaimed the absolute truth of the grace gospel boldly, clearly, plainly. Eight. Unlike those living in Satan's cosmic system, Paul did not distort the word of God into lies. Unlike those living in Satan's cosmic system, Paul did not distort the word of God into lies. So the corrected translation of verse 2 starts out, "But we have renounced." We have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system. Now, number two, that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must avoid. Not walking in craftiness. It says in the King James, this is the perfect active participle of peripateo with the negative me, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of panorgia. The verb is peripateo. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E, long O. Peripateo. Pateo means to walk, peri means around, so one, literally it means to walk around. 2, figuratively, it refers to the walk of life. The walk of life. Figuratively, it means to live or to conduct oneself. The negative may, with the present tense, says, we are not walking when in panorgia, in deception. Point 3. Some in Corinth were living or walking en panorgia. En plus a dative is a dative of sphere, in the sphere of panorgia. Looks like that in the Greek, panorgia, panorgia. So what is panorgia? One, in the God-breathed scriptures, panorgia is exclusively used in an unfavorable sense. It is exclusively used in an unfavorable sense. It means evil cunning. It means craftiness. It means trickery. It means deception. This is the second thing in witnessing for Christ you absolutely must avoid. You must avoid living your life in panorgia, the sphere of panorgia. Evil cunning, craftiness, trickery, deception. Point 2. These false teachers were using the gospel deceitfully to serve their own ends. They were using the gospel deceitfully to serve their own ends. Some were in the ministry for the money. Some were in it for their own purposes. But not the Apostle Paul, not Titus, not Timothy. They were in the ministry to serve the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to honor and glorify Him to the maximum. But these false teachers were using the gospel deceitfully to serve their own ends. 3. To see this word and how it's used and what it means, the word panorgia is used of Satan in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, we have our word panorgia, and you can see it describes Satan. It describes how Satan operates. Satan is the current ruler of planet Earth, and he rules the world in panorgia. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, but I am afraid lest as the serpent, Satan, deceived Eve by his panorgia, craftiness. He deceived Eve in the garden by his panorgia, his craftiness, that your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. So here you see panorgia. It is the function of Satan as a ruler of planet Earth. He operates in craftiness, in evil cunning, in trickery, in deception. And when you get out of fellowship with God and get into Satan's cosmic system, you wind up involved in the same things. 4. False apostles and false teachers in Corinth were using the gospel deceitfully in craftiness, in evil cunning, to serve their own ends. They weren't serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They were serving their own ends and purposes. And there are many men in the ministry that are doing the same thing today. False apostles and false teachers in Corinth were using the gospel deceitfully to serve their own ends. 5. When you are walking, or peripateo, when you are living in the sphere of deception, you are living in the sphere of Satan's cosmic system. And in his cosmic system, there is no honor. There is no virtue. When you are walking or living your life in the sphere of deception, panorgia, you are living in the sphere of Satan's cosmic system, where there is no honor and where there is no virtue. Six, in witnessing for Christ, you must avoid using the gospel deceitfully to serve your own purposes. In witnessing for Christ, you must avoid using the gospel deceitfully to serve your own purposes. Seven. The Apostle Paul, Pastor Teacher Timothy, and Titus, they never witnessed for Christ using deception and craftiness to serve their own selfish ends. Paul, Timothy, and Titus never witnessed for Christ using deception and craftiness to serve their own selfish ends. So far in verse 2, we have two things that you must avoid in witnessing for Christ. But we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system, not living or walking in the sphere of deception and craftiness for our own purposes or ends, selfish purposes and ends. Now number three that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must avoid, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. That we always start with the King James, but then we go to the original autographs and see exactly what God is saying here. This is the negative disjunctive particle meida plus the present active participle of the verb dolao, plus the accusative singular of logos with the definite article, and the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Now the negative disjunctive particle meida looks like this. M-E-D-E. M-long-E-D-E. Meida. Sounds like mayday, but it's meida. And it means and not, or but not, or nor, continuing a preceding negation, in this case introducing the third thing that our ministry of witnessing for Christ must avoid. And then we have the verb dolao. Looks like that in the Greek, D-O-L-O, long O, dolao. Now, dolao is another hapax legomenon, and in other words, this is the only time that this word is found in the New Testament scriptures. One, dolao means to falsify. To falsify, to adulterate, to distort. To falsify, to adulterate, to distort. Two, this is distorting the grace gospel into a false gospel. We have in the scriptures the grace gospel. And it's so beautiful. You simply place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Who did all the work for salvation? Jesus Christ did. You didn't. Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross. All the sins of the world, your sins, the sins of the whole world, poured out on Christ, judged in Jesus Christ, and your salvation is placing your faith in the finished work of Christ. He did all the work. The work is done. He said, it is finished. Tetelestai. And therefore, all the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life, eternal salvation. The grace of God is presented in the God-breathed scriptures. The grace gospel is presented there. So Satan, as the ruler of this world, takes that truth and twists it, distorts it. Uses a lot of the same terminology. It's been sad to see what has been going on all over America. It started in California, Lordship Salvation, which is a false gospel. And it spread through the state of California, and now it's spread through fundamentalism all over the nation. And it is a false gospel. It's so sad. And yet you talk to these people, if you were to sit down with these people initially, why, you will say, yeah, this is great. They talk about Jesus Christ and this and that and the other thing. Yeah, yeah. But if some of them believed in Christ by grace before they got involved in it, and once you place your faith in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, you're saved forever. No matter what lies you believe afterward. And some believers fell into this after they were saved. Some approach salvation with this, and they're not saved at all. And that's where the Satan, as the ruler of this world and his great genius, he has totally destroyed fundamentalism in America. So dolao means to falsify, to adulterate, to distort. Two, this is distorting the grace gospel into a false gospel. This is distorting the grace gospel into a false gospel. Three, this is corrupting the grace gospel of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ into a false gospel of salvation by works. This is corrupting the grace gospel of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ into a false gospel of salvation by works. Four, the Apostle Paul communicated the grace gospel. The Apostle John communicated the grace gospel. The Apostle Peter communicated the grace gospel. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You do the work, you get the glory. God does the work, God gets the glory. Five, in witnessing for Christ, you must avoid distorting the grace gospel into a false gospel of salvation by works. In witnessing for Christ, you must avoid distorting the grace gospel into a false gospel of salvation by works. And what are they dolaoing? They are dolaoing, ton logon, to theou, the word of God. And in context, the word of God, sometimes the word of God refers to the entire word of God. Sometimes the word of God refers to gospel truth in the word of God. Here the emphasis is on gospel truth in the word of God. So the corrected translation so far, verse 2. But we have renounced the secret and shameful ways of the cosmic system, not living, not walking in the sphere of deception, the cosmic system to serve our own purposes and ends, nor falsifying, distorting the word of God. Now we have, in the rest of verse 2, now we have what witnessing for Jesus Christ must be. What witnessing for Christ must be. We have alla te phanerose te salitheos. The conjunction Allah plus the dative singular phanerosis with the definite article plus the genitive singular of atheia with the definite article. Again, Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. You translate it but or on the contrary. And here it sets up a contrast between, one, sets up a contrast between what witnessing for Christ must avoid with what witnessing for Christ must be. So it sets up a contrast between what witnessing for Christ must avoid with what our witnessing for Christ must be. Two, it sets up a contrast between a false gospel with the true gospel. Sets up a contrast between the false gospel with the true gospel. Three, it sets up a contrast between Satan's cosmic system with the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. Four, it sets up a contrast between deception to serve your own purposes, selfish purposes and ends, with serving the living and true God. Sets up a contrast between deception to serve your own selfish purposes and ends with serving the living and true God. And five, it sets up a contrast between distortion of the Word of God with proclamation of the absolute truth of the Word of God. Sets up a contrast between distortion of the Word of God with proclamation of the absolute truth of the Word of God. And then we have phanerosis. Looks like this in the Greek. P-H-A-N-E-R, long O-S-I-S. Phanerosis. A couple of things on this term. One, phanerosis means disclosure or announcement. It's in the dative case. The dative case is the dative of means. So it means disclosure or announcement. Two, phanerosis comes from the verb phanerao. Comes from the verb phanerao. Looks like that in the Greek, P-H-A-N-E-R-O, long O, phanerao. Comes from the verb phanerao, which means to reveal or to make known. So phanerosis, disclosure, announcement, comes from the verb phanerao, to reveal, to make known. Three, phanerosis is the open proclamation. Open proclamation, making known. And what are you proclaiming? Aletheia. A-L long E-T-H-E A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. Absolute truth. Aletheia is used in John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way and the aletheia. The absolute truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth. Aletheia, the way and the absolute truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. And then Jesus Christ said, sanctify, when his prayer to the Father, Jesus Christ said, sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Then he said, thy word is aletheia, absolute truth. Jesus Christ declared that the word of God is absolute truth. So we have aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Four, specifically, it is the open proclamation of the grace gospel. Specifically, it is the open proclamation of the grace gospel, salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The noun aletheia is in the genitive case. This is the objective genitive. This announcement, this open proclamation, is making known the absolute truth of the grace gospel. So, corrected translation. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth of the grace gospel, aletheia, sanctify them by means of the aletheia. Thy word is aletheia, Jesus Christ declared in his prayer to God the Father. So on the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth, aletheia, of the grace gospel. And then he concludes, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. Now every man here is every unbeliever's conscience. In giving the gospel. And the Apostle Paul gave the grace gospel all over the Roman Empire. And commending himself to every unbeliever's conscience in proclaiming this grace gospel. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience. This is the verb soon histemi with the reflexive pronoun heautu plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative of sunedesis, modified by pas, plus the gender plural of anthropos. All right. First of all, the verb sun istemi. Sun istemi. Looks like that in the Greek. S-U-N-I-S-T, long E. Am I? Soon este me. All right, a couple of things. One, soon este me is a compound word. Preposition soon, which means with. Histe me, the verb to stand. So it's a compound word made up of the preposition soon plus the verb histe me. And therefore, two, it literally means to stand with. To stand with. That's the literal translation of the word. Three, it means to present, to introduce, to recommend someone to someone else, to commend someone to someone else. Present, introduce, to recommend someone to someone else, to commend someone to someone else. Four, the reflexive pronoun is heautu. Looks like that. There's the letter H, breathing mark over the word H, E-A-U-T-O-U. Heautu. And heautu is means ourselves. We are commending ourselves. who are ourselves believers living the spiritual life, believers filled with the Spirit, believers with maximum metabolized doctrine of the grace gospel in their hearts. That's ourselves. That was Paul. That was Timothy. That was Titus. That was God's faithful communicators. Commending ourselves, believers living the spiritual life, believers filled with the Spirit, believers with maximum metabolized doctrine of the grace gospel in their hearts. And then pros plus the accusative. P-R-O-S means to, towards. Pros plus the accusative also means face to face with. Face to face with. This is witnessing for Christ to the unbeliever, face to face. Face to face with, and then passan sunedesis. Passan, that's the accusative of pas. There's the accusative ending, passan. That means all, and then sunedesis, the word for conscience. S-U-N-E-I-D, long E-S-I-S, sunedesis. Every conscience. Genitive plural of the noun anthropos is also there, of man. And the man here is the unbeliever. Anthropos, A-N-T-H-R, long O-P-O-S. This is the generic term for mankind. It includes not just the males, but the females. All mankind. All. And in the context, these are all unbelievers. Male unbelievers and female unbelievers. And then we have sunedesis. Great word. This is the Greek word for conscience. S-U-N-E-I-D, long E-S-I-S. Sunedesis. So one, sunedesis is a compound word made up of sun, again, with. Edesis is the, comes from the verb oida, to know. So two, literally it means to know with. To know with a norm and a standard. In your conscience, you have these norms and standards. And that makes those norms and standards become your conscience. Two, again, it means to know with a norm and standard. Three, this is the Greek word for conscience. And your conscience has norms and standards for thinking, for motivation, for decision making, for action. The conscience has norms and standards for thinking, for motivation, for decision making, for action. Four, the conscience has norms and standards which distinguishes between what you accept as right and what you accept as wrong. The conscience has norms and standards which distinguishes between what you think is right and what you think is wrong. Five, the conscience urges the individual to do what he recognizes to be right and to restrain him from doing what that which he recognizes to be wrong. The conscience urges the individual to do what he recognizes to be right and restrain him from doing that which he recognizes to be wrong. Now we're looking here, the corrected translation, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And every man, this is presenting the grace gospel to unbelievers. Paul was witnessing for Christ all over the Roman Empire and commending ourselves to every unbeliever's conscience in the sight of God. 6. No one comes to God consciousness without an arousal of the conscience in his soul. No one comes to God consciousness without an arousal of the conscience in his soul. Now, I don't know if you are aware of when you came positive to God consciousness. I do. I was 8th grade. Was in 8th grade math. Mr. Hilton was the teacher. And, I never had a chance to find out, but I really believe he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are in 8th grade math. And he asked, does anybody know the 23rd Psalm? Well, I didn't. I didn't know anything in the Bible. I was an unbeliever. I didn't know anything. I knew anything about God or anything. And this one girl raised her hand. He said, would you come up and recite it to the class? She went up in front of the class and recited the 23rd Psalm. That's the first time I ever heard. I'm sitting there as an unbeliever. And when she got done, I was saying inside in my soul, I believe there is a God. I believe there is a God, and I would like to know him. I thought everything she recited in the 23rd Psalm was fantastic. I went positive at God consciousness right then. Well, God honored that positive volition of God consciousness, and between my junior and senior years of high school, took me up to a Young Life camp in British Columbia, where the grace gospel was given. And I believe, for the first time, I was given the grace gospel, and I heard what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And if I simply believed in him, I would have the gift of eternal life. And I would live with him forever and ever. Well, I believed in Christ right there. But I was positive of God consciousness. Somewhere along the line, God is only responsible to get the gospel to those who go positive of God consciousness. No one comes to God consciousness without an arousal of the conscience of the soul. You have norms and standards in your conscience. Something you think is right, something you think is wrong. You come to the conclusion there is a living and true God. I came to that conclusion. There had to be a God. All we were getting was, we came from, evolved from monkeys. But that's not fair to the monkey. Say that. And I didn't believe that at all. I thought that can't be right. There has to be a God. So you come in your norms and standards in your conscience that there has to be a living and true God. And if there is, that he must reveal himself. And therefore, you will want to give the gospel a hearing. 7. at God consciousness, you have norms and standards in your soul that are saying there must be a God. You don't know that God, but you believe there must be a God. You have in your conscience norms and standards that there is a God. So you are willing to listen to the good news of the gospel. Again, point seven. At God consciousness, you have norms and standards in your soul that are saying you believe there is a God. You don't know who that God is, but you believe that there must be a God, and you have in your conscience norms and standards that are saying there is a God, and therefore you are willing to listen to the good news of the gospel. That's what Paul is saying here. On the contrary, by means of the open proclamation of the absolute truth, aletheia, the absolute truth of the grace gospel, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience, every unbeliever's conscience, and then the last phrase, in the sight of God. And that's where we're going to start next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.